Good morning, Lee.
Hey there, Tara.
I couldn't be more thrilled. You know, for years, I have been saying that Trump has got to clean up these voter rolls to stop the voter fraud. And I know about the voter fraud in North Carolina. Personally, I covered it for years as a reporter. And it was bad. And it was openly understood. I mean, I was writing articles years ago when I was a reporter there, where the Republican county commissioners, for instance, in Charlotte would tell you, you've got to win. And they even knew you needed to win by a solid 3.5 to 4% to overcome the fraud.
I remember you talking about this a long time ago.
Oh, yeah.
This specific aspect of it, too.
They'd go on the record and tell you that. And they had several ways that they would do it. They knew where the ghost voters were. Certain precincts in Charlotte would stay open, and then those voters would vote. And they didn't even hide it. I mean, at one point, I can remember the signatures for the last page after page after page after page out of some of those precincts. It was in the same flowery handwriting. In other words, they didn't even bother to change it. And so the Republicans would win, and then last minute, certain precincts would come in Democrat areas. They always ran late after midnight. Everybody else was in by 9, and bam, it would flip the county commission. It would flip everything. So Mayor Pat McCrory, who was a source of mine for many years, I hope he doesn't mind me telling people that now. It's been so many years ago.
Whoops.
Although officially we were opposed to each other, but we talked a lot almost every week when he was mayor and developed quite a relationship. And I told him, I said, Mayor, you have got to clean this up. This is going to catch you. McCrory was very popular, and he managed to stay ahead of it because he got enough Democrat votes to do so. He was very, very moderate mayor. Kind of a Democrat, light Republican, the kind of person who does well in Charlotte, or used to back then. And I said, it's going to catch you. And then we had a thing statewide where it got really bad, where you had Democrat Party affiliated 501c3s. They were going around and doing massive levels of registration. The same thing that we've seen in places like Michigan. And it was the same people. They were turning in ridiculously high numbers of voter cards, voter registrations. They were doing it in clearly ways that were fraudulent. I said, you've got to speak out against this. You're going to catch you. Sure enough, Mayor McCrory, who then became Governor McCrory, lost his governorship. And this was in the wake of a lot of this going on in the state. And I knew there were a lot of ghost voters, a lot of fake voters that had been registered. That, Lee, is why there are no license numbers and social security numbers to accompany these voters. A lot of them are on the rolls left over from when the Democrats ran the state. And they were never cleaned off the rolls. And that's why I told him, you got to get them off the rolls. We all know they're there. And he would even acknowledge to me, he knew they were there. But I think McCrory always felt like he could just always get enough Democrat votes to overcome it. And he didn't have to worry like the more conservative Republicans did. Well, Democrats went hard left. They weren't willing to vote for a mushy Republican anymore. And it caught him. And I want to read from his Wikipedia page where Pat McCrory. Pat McCrory lost his bid for a second term as North Carolina's governor in 2016 gubernatorial election, conceding to Democrat Roy Cooper a month after the election, but continuing to make voter fraud allegations. Thing we talked about all those years ago. That's what Trump is pulling off these rolls. And the numbers are massive. 225,000 who do not have the federally required numbers. Again, you need the license number or the social security number there. And this was a subject of litigation because they just had all of this whole battle over the Supreme Court of states. Long story, I won't bore you with it. But it ended up being that they ended up agreeing that at least roughly half of the 225,000 indeed did not have social security numbers or driver's license numbers. In other words, they were illegally registered. These were the voters the Democrats were registering that I was screaming about all those years ago. So this wasn't this isn't an oversight. It's not an oopsie. It's not an accident. It's not a darn the clerk forgot to ask. They did this on purpose. And I am convinced to this day that it cost Pat McCrory his governorship. Can't argue otherwise. Trump only won the state of North Carolina by 75,000 in 2020. So he knows for future Republicans, unless you win that state in a landslide, can't overcome the fraud. So thrilled to see him finally doing what I screamed for years about. You got to clean these rolls. You've got to if you want us to have a fair shot. So good news. Good news that they are fighting this. And look, we should have had, and this is, remember how I got frustrated with this lady? We should have had this done before the 2024 election. We took a tremendous risk not doing it before the 2024 election. And again, Trump had $200 million to challenge this with. And I never understood why he wasn't in court fighting. But whatever, he's doing it now. Unfortunately, it caught the Supreme Court candidate who challenged about 60,000 ballots. He said were cast by registrants who lacked the identifying number. He's right, but it's too late.
And that race was not called until just like a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah. Yeah, and this is the court, you know, but this is them, basically. This is a DOJ basically acknowledging, yeah, these voters are, they're not legit. Personally, I'm not even sure they're real. In fact, I'm pretty sure they're not. Not real. They come out of certain key Democrat precincts. And I watched it for years in Charlotte. I mean, it would get ridiculous. We'd get to the point where there'd be a clear win. We'd have an announcement of a Republican county commission on Tuesday. And then by Friday, they're like, oh, those votes. And they would come in and flip the whole thing. I mean, it was just in your face. But as far as McCrory and what the Democrats would do, a lot of this would come out of black precincts. They do that on purpose. And McCrory was always afraid to challenge it because he didn't want to be called a racist.
Right,
that's what they would do. That's the tactic. So he just thought he could win, and eventually it caught him and he couldn't. So we need to do this in every state. We need to get the ghost voters off the rolls. We need to get the fake voters off the rolls. We need to get people who are registered twice off the rolls. That's why you don't use your number. And this. So I'm really glad to see the Trump administration is now serious about
this. See, that's why Democrats always have the narrative, every vote must be counted. No, every legal vote that is cast should be counted. That's the question, because there is, despite what the Democrat narrative is, there are illegal votes that are cast in probably every general election in this nation, period.
Yeah.
It's just a determination of exactly how many of those are not legal votes.
So glad that this is happening. This needs to continue to happen. We also need legislation to pass through the Senate and the House if Republicans want to be able to continue to win. That makes it very hard to cheat.
From a constitutional standpoint, the states need to clean it up because
the
elections are the responsibility of the states, not the federal government, even though federal government now has a lot more power over these elections than what really is constitutionally dictated.
Yeah, and, you know, some more good news along those lines, and you can thank Stephen Miller for this, Trump's deputy chief of staff. We just notched a absolutely massive win. I've been talking about it for, gosh, a couple weeks now, in Arizona, where a court for the first time gave us the no, you're not crazy ruling.
Yeah.
Mandating that 50,000 illegal immigrant voters be stripped from the Arizona rolls. They had been registered. Remember, the Supreme Court acknowledged they were there, but let them vote just in case there was some snafu and they weren't really illegal immigrants, which I thought was outrageous. We had plenty of time to get them off the rolls. Well, they just ordered that in that state, the Democrats unfortunately control registration because they control the offices that control registration and the rolls. They were refusing to remove the illegal immigrants. And he got a ruling court. They got to take 50,000 off the rolls. Here's the crazy thing. 36,000 of them voted in 2020.
Yeah.
And, you know, so here I am saying that for years, and I know it because remember Trump hired that firm that went through and audited the rolls in a lot of these states and found these voters. Joe Biden won the state by 11,000, 36,000 illegals voted. We finally, just weeks ago, got the order from a court to get the 50,000 illegals. It's now 50 off the rolls.
That's the type of story that the Associated Press would always report as unverified or untrue claims of voter fraud.
Yeah, they're pretty verified now.
Yeah.
The really sad thing about it is they're going to get away with what they've done because every one of those votes, first of all, it's illegal to register. Okay, so that should be prosecuted and everyone who voted should be prosecuted, but they're not going to prosecute 36,000 illegal immigrants, but at least we get them off the rolls. And by the way, some of them may not even be illegal immigrants. Some of them may be legal immigrants who have come in here on visas and are registered. You can't vote in a federal election if you're not a U.S. citizen. Doesn't matter if you're here legally or not. It's irrelevant. So there's probably some of that in there, too. But yeah, and I've always thought in Arizona what was actually happening, because remember we had the voting expert on the show about this not too long ago, is that they have those massive illegal immigrant shelters there. They would register them to vote as they came through. It was automatic. And then they'd just move on and somebody was voting for them. That's what I think was actually happening. The Democrats would know exactly who to vote for. That's why absentee ballot voting was so critical in 2020, because you couldn't produce a physical person to go to the polls. You needed a way to mail it in where no one could see who was mailing it. So, but the good news here, folks, don't get mad about it. I mean, this is a major, major, major victory. Two of them, one that we're fighting in North Carolina. We're going to win that one because they're illegal. And we just won in Arizona. Baby steps, baby steps, baby steps. I am convinced that without ghost voters, fake voters, illegal immigrants, who I think the Democrats vote for, I think we're hard to beat. I think we're very hard to beat. And they know it. Time for another edition of Something New. We're starting on this show. Who in the heck is in this country? The fact that I could do this every day now is kind of crazy. My personal favorite so far this month is the Venezuelan hitman who killed at least four that we know of. Even Venezuela wants him. We found him in Texas, where he was working, using the permit the Biden administration gave him when he, unafraid, turned himself in to Border Patrol. Instead of apprehending him, he was, after all, wanted by Interpol. They went, yeah, but he'll probably vote Democrat. Here, have a work permit. Folks, I hope this stuff is hitting critical mass with the American people. After years of being gaslit by the Democrats and told the border's not open, we find out who's actually in the country. Like these two tragic illegal immigrants arrested in a fatal jet ski hit and run of a teenage Air Force recruit. They got them both. Yeah, they fled the scene because, of course, they did. Her name was Ava Moore. She was only 18. That's absolutely tragic. I cannot. It's just, you hit a certain age, you've had kids, and you realize what you miss if you die at that age. Yeah. Struck by two illegal immigrants who, of course, fled the scene because why not? Laws don't apply to them. Norms. That's what the Democrats taught them. DeKirlin Alejandro Gonzalez, and a man she allegedly fled with from Grapevine Lake were arrested on Tuesday after a standoff with police. Okay, so they didn't go quietly. Oh, these were going to be great Democrat voters. By the way, do you know why they fight so hard for them? Do you realize each illegal through chain migration will eventually bring three more? Those three will eventually bring three more, and on and on and on. So it's like a never-ending pipeline of illegals who eventually become legals or have children who are legals and they vote Democrat, or so it is believed. So that's why the Democrats fight so hard for every last one, even the human traffickers, even the violent, even those who discredit their cause with their violence, like the four-time hitman from Venezuela. But otherwise, great Democrat voter. I mean, you know, don't knock it till you try it, I guess. Anyway, edition of Who in the Heck is in This Country. And not all of them are illegally here. Some of them just show incredibly bad judgment on the part of the Democrats, like this guy I meant to get to yesterday. Jamal Wali, 36, brought to the U.S. in 2014, Obama, after working as an interpreter in Afghanistan. He was pulled over for a routine traffic violation in Fairfax, Virginia, at which point he shouted profanities at the police, professed his hatred for the U.S., because of course he hates America. Fit right in as a Democrat voter. That's why Democrats love these people. And regret for not supporting the Taliban. And eventually ended up opening fire on the police officers present, because why not? The shooting happened earlier this month, but the Virginia police just released the body cam footage. And it's quite something. Now, the good news here is Mr. Wali was killed in the exchange. We should have never brought him here. Not work. It's not a good fit, folks. And keep in mind, this guy was an interpreter. We actually knew who he was. The roughly 100,000 that Biden bought here from Afghanistan, just packed them on a plane, loaded them up, didn't take the time to figure out who they were. Now, some of them have turned up on the terror watch list. We can't find out where they are. And I'm sure we'll hear from them later. Okay. Meanwhile, did you hear about this? But we never used to. When you grew up, did you know what an honor killing was? Did you ever hear of such a thing? Honor killing, like, what is that even? Well, that's a thing in Iraq. Headline, UK Daily Mail, shocking new revelations about father who attempted to strangle his teen daughter in honor killing. He was mad she had an American boyfriend. In fact, he was mad she had a boyfriend at all. So to solve the problem, he did what any father would do. He told her he was putting her on a plane to force a marriage with an Iraqi man, much older gentleman. And if she did not go, he would kill her. You know, normal teenage daughter, daddy conflict stuff. In Iraq, not here. So she was absolutely terrified. Long story short, after he and the mom choked her, punched her, and hit her, she fled to the only place she felt safe. Thank God she was able to be there, the school. Can you imagine this scene that unfolded? I don't know, mainstream Democrat media, of course, blacked this out. She's at the school. She's begging the staff to keep her safe. They find a safe house for her, somewhere safe she can go, but for some reason don't offer her transportation. The boyfriend doesn't have a car. He can't drive her. So they're standing there waiting for the bus, like the city bus, in front of the school, right? But they don't make it in time. This is Timberline High School in Lacey, Washington. Mom and dad pull up. Dad immediately commences the honor killing in front of the school. Boyfriend tries to fight off dad as they scuffle. More and more kids get involved, which is the only reason she almost died. She spent days in the hospital. The only reason she's still alive. Well, mom wasn't happy about that. After the other students had subdued dad, mom tried to choke her to death in front of the school. Her father had recently been threatening her with honor killing for refusing an arranged marriage with an older man in another country. Yeah. So anyway, because of language barriers and other confusion, police originally did not realize that mom tried to kill her too and let her go. She ran around for a few days intimidating family members and eventually tried to cross over into Canada, taking the other kids in the suitcases with her. They eventually got her. Both are going to be on trial, although it's, you know, People's Republic of Washington, so God knows they probably don't care. But yeah. Anyway, the boyfriend saved her life. He was hospitalized as well. You should see her. Oh my gosh. Anyway, this concludes another edition of Who in the Heck is in This Country? Folks, when you hear these stories and you see what Trump is doing with our universities who are letting in people who advocate for designated terror groups, you understand why Trump's doing what he's doing at the colleges. I know it sounds weird, especially if you're a new listener to the show. Like, why does he want their social media postings? Well, why is he demanding Harvard and other, you know, and other colleges turn over a list of who they're giving these visas to? That's why, so they can run up against the terror watch list. Because unfortunately, there are some really wonderful cultures in this world that are just not compatible with ours. And they need to have free speech rights and stay in their own country. Not be brought here by liberal college administrators who are very naive about the world. Texter writes, terror honor killings are part of Islamic world, or Islamic law worldwide. Muslim parents, grandparents, and male relatives can kill women pretty much at will. And that's what he explained to his daughter. He didn't care who saw him, and apparently not, since he did it in front of her school. Poor thing. Texter writes, love you, Tara. Oh, thanks. Okay, some positive feedback. I'm a truck driver in Northeast Georgia, and I've been listening to you every morning for years. Love your podcast as well. Well, thank you very much. It's the Battleground America podcast. It was actually epic yesterday. Who is the president? Hunter Biden, apparently, with an assist from Jill. Texter writes, just according to the New York Post. Texter writes, hey, Tara. Where did this go? Sharia law should be outlawed nationwide. Yeah. Texter writes, Tara, not only Dem voter, they are chaos agents, individuals that don't expect freedom from government rule, totally dependent on government, i.e. your replacement. Okay, folks. So this is really what's going, really interesting what's going on between Russia and Trump right now, trading a world war of words as the Senate prepares for sanctions on Russia to try to get them to the negotiating table, and they should probably try it. But the problem is this. Nobody is explaining this to the American people. You've got to go read in foreign papers to even understand what's actually happening. The huge problem is this, and I've wondered about this from the beginning. NATO hates Trump. Who's NATO? France, Germany, UK. Less than a year ago, France was asserting the right to extradite Trump for trial for things he said about transgender people online. Elon Musk, too, and Riley Gaines. In fact, they were asserting the right to imprison Trump in France. That's who France is. UK was asserting the right to do that to Elon Musk. These people are not our friends. The first thing that J.D. Vance did was go over there and, remember, give that lecture to Germany. Stop censoring the opposition party. They are now more popular than you in the polls. You cannot censor them out of existence. You are acting like the USSR. So understand something, just basically to understand what's going on right now. This is a massive fight. France, Germany, and the UK, their leadership, they hate Trump. They hate Vance. They resent having to deal with him at all. And they want World War III so badly. Things were going great under Biden. They were lobbing long-range missiles into Russia. World War III is their economic plan. So this idea that Trump was ever going to negotiate peace, I've never understood it. Because if you notice something, NATO never authorized Trump to negotiate on their behalf. Did you catch that? Trump just assumed the mantle and started negotiating for peace. NATO resents the heck out of that. And again, the only people in NATO who matter are France, Germany, and the UK. And there was never any formal proclamation or designation or any of that. And I always wondered from the beginning, how is Trump going to get NATO to go along with any peace that he, you know, agreement he gets with Ukraine, Russia, whoever? Well, I was right. So for months, and you won't know this if you watch US media, for months what happens is this. And this is as much about Ukraine versus Russia as it is about Trump versus NATO. They've been undermining Trump. These countries have. In fact, Germany right now just launched a plan to build their military up so they can be ready for war with Russia by 2029. So they have war plans extending out to 2029. They're not letting this war slip away. It's, again, their economic plan. And the other plan was that we were going to spend, you know, hundreds of trillions, you know, billions, maybe trillions eventually, in Ukraine, and they'd launder a little off the top, everybody get rich, and it would, you know, fuel the German economy since they're not really going to have manufacturing anymore since their energy sources are whack. And that's been the whole plan. And then they were going to take Russia and partition it into six parts, divide it up, and Europe will rule it. Russia knows that, and they're like, no, we're not doing that. And they're having a fight. They're all having a fight, right? They resent the heck Germany, England, Ukraine, all of them, France, and really probably, quite frankly, Russia, that Trump is involved in this at all. So every time that Putin makes any kind of gesture of coming to the peace table, what happens? Well, all of those weapons that Joe Biden and Mike Johnson and all that funding that they gave to Ukraine, which was really to NATO, because Ukraine can't fire any of that stuff. They don't have the tech. Those weapons rain down on the heads of Russian civilians. So what happened this week? Well, for the third time, they attempted to assassinate Vladimir Putin. The last time they attempted to assassinate Vladimir Putin, we admitted they attempted to assassinate Vladimir Putin. We were just cool with it. He was supposed to be too. And every time Zelensky threatens to assassinate Putin, Putin gets assassinated or there's an attempt. Makes Putin mad, right? So NATO, every time Putin starts to come to the table, will start mass bombing inside Russia. And it's not just the attack on the helicopter. This has been going on for months. And they'll do it in defiance of Trump, behind Trump's back. Trump didn't have anything to do with it. And they're doing it using our weaponry, a lot of which and funding we gave them before Trump was in office. So this is NATO undermining Trump behind his back. Now, Trump's mad at Russia because Trump said to Russians, ignore them. I know they're bombing inside your country. This is hard. Your people don't like it. They want to retaliate, but we got to get peace. And Putin's looking at Trump going, peace? How are you going to enforce peace? You can't even get him to stop bombing over the weekend. This is where we are. This is where we actually are. And a good way to know what is actually going on is to read foreign news, Times, English language, Times of India is very good. It's they're friends with us and friends with Russia. So you get like actually balanced coverage and you understand what's going on. So that's what happened this weekend. They did a massive, the largest massive Ukraine and NATO did drone strike on Russia in years. Yes, they surrounded his helicopter and all of that. He calls it an assassination attempt. Don't know. But they hit so many other spots too. So Russia retaliated by hitting the part of Ukraine the drones were launched from. It was a drone launching site. In our media reports, that is civilian. Although if you read deeply into it, you can find some people being honest, but you really got to read deep. So they're fully at war and they're ignoring Trump. Trump is very embarrassed by this. And the key fault here is, because you know what Trump said, he's going to come in first aid, he's going to fix this, right? Now, his natural instinct is to throw his hands in the air and walk away from NATO, which is what he should do. We do not need to go to war, but he's got this problem. He's smack in the middle of European tariff negotiations right now. What does Europe want more than anything? A war with Russia, preferably. And then they'd like to go ahead and beat Russia, assassinate Putin, and then divide Russia into six parts. Just the economic plan for the next 20 years. So Trump is now in the way of that, and it's coming up at the tariff negotiations. That's what this is. So he can't go to war with NATO, which again is France, Russia. I'm sorry. We'll be soon at the rate we're going once they partition Russia. France, England, and in Germany. Well, he can't go to war with NATO. He can't walk away from NATO. He can't do any of that because of tariff negotiations. Those countries are taking advantage of that, and they bombed the heck out of Russia this weekend to try to stop peace. That's a game. Trump is very, very embarrassed here. By all of this, he needs a fall guy, and he just blamed Putin. But quite frankly, all these people are insane. They're all nuts. And you can see what kind of happened here. In order to stop them from killing each other, Pete Hegseth put a hold on us sending military equipment in February. Remember that? And as soon as the tariff negotiations started, you could tell the Euroweenies were mad about that. And Trump points to Hegseth and goes, oh no, did you stop sending equipment? Oh no, you didn't tell me. Yeah, start again. Yeah, Trump knew. Hegseth, as a good team member, took one on the chin. Oh, you mean you didn't want me to stop sending equipment to Ukraine? Yeah, because Trump was trying to stop them from killing each other to get them all to the table long enough to negotiate peace. But what's become clear to Vladimir Putin is that Trump can't stop NATO. It's unfortunate. He's not God. He can't stop NATO. And NATO very much wants this war. And the Germans actually recently as this past week, announced their war plans through 2029. So that's their personal war plans. So folks, this is what's actually going on. If it said, and this is why Trump came out and said, Putin's gone crazy. Oh, he's bombing for no reason. Why is he saying that? You got to placate the Euroweenies long enough to get them to sign the tariffs so that he can go back to exiting NATO. But he can't do it right now because it would mess up the tariff negotiations. He needs those in place really quickly so our markets don't spin weirdly out of control here. And no one will tell you the truth on this. Nobody will. I just did. It's a mess. And, you know, I know Trump. He always finds a way. He'll find a way now. But I still don't know how he's going to bring NATO to heel, and that's got to happen or this war is not going to end. NATO, by the way, is trying to drag us into the war. And you saw that in the Wall Street Journal. Drudge highlighted it, America prepares for war. And that's really what the Wall Street Journal is saying, that, you know, we are basically out there testing these missile launch systems to hit Russia with. You want World War III? That'll do it. I don't think Trump's going to do it, though. I think he's just trying to bring everyone to the table. I'll believe this when I see it, but a new poll says Senator Lindsey Graham seems to be vulnerable in his home state of South Carolina Republican primary. That's according to a Lynch for Senate poll commissioned by Pulse Opinion Research. Breitbart's got this morning. 57% of Republican primary voters in the state would not vote for Lindsey Graham if the election were held today. That's where this gets interesting. I actually believe that. The problem is that the Democrats vote in our primary and they love Lindsey because he is effectively, well, I don't know, something in between a Democrat, neocon, and anti-Trumper. The problem is that Graham also has Trump's endorsement, even though he spent, you know, most of his time undermining Trump for the past 2 years, you know, really three, which is incredibly frustrating. And again, maybe there is something to this. You saw the rally last year for Trump in Lindsey's hometown. When Trump mentioned Lindsey, they both got booed. So I don't know. It could be interesting. I just feel like I've gotten my hopes up so many times that Graham could be defeated only to have them dashed that I'm very cautious. But anyway, this poll is out there. 57% of Republican primary voters in the state would not vote for Lindsey Graham if the election were held today. By the way, somebody's going to send me a text saying, why did Trump endorse him? Because Trump needs his vote right now in the Senate for the big, beautiful bill and the rest of the agenda. And he knows Lindsey will undermine him. So he's using his endorsement to keep Lindsey on a very short leash for long enough to get a couple of votes out of him before Lindsey goes back to undermining him, which is what Lindsey does. So, but interesting, 57% of Republican primary voters would not vote for Lindsey Graham. No telling what the Democrat primary voters posing as Republicans will do because our state leadership won't close our primaries. And why is that? Because they all answer to Lindsey Graham. It's a circular problem. We'll have more on it coming up.